Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide and worldwide via the Chief Sports Network app. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. As with me, as always, J.C. Sherbert, and it's Friday, so that means we bring in Matt Anderson. But before we get into all of that, we are off on Monday in observance for Memorial Day. And, of course, we kind of like the morning show. It, you know, Memorial Day is a tough one, right? Because we around here are extremely patriotic, you know, and even though we all have our differences, we're all Americans. And the reason that we get to have those differences and yell in each other's faces is because there were those among us who were willing to lie down their lives in support of this nation. And as one of the saddest things some of these Gold Star families will ever hear on behalf of a grateful nation, we on this show are eternally grateful for your service and sacrifice.
Absolutely. And it doesn't matter, you know, what your opinion is of the various wars people have, are the government's fault, especially this century. One of the most angry I ever got, and it's very rare I actually got angry. I know I seemed angry, but there was a post on the old site one day from a Vietnam vet, and it was, I think it was, the 4th of July, some patriotic holiday, remembering his buddies that died in Vietnam. Now, Vietnam vets now are senior citizens, right? In their 70s. And this 20-something-year-old moron clown loser proceeds to, like, didn't even know, like, the history of the Vietnam War. Just started calling him, like he was, like, Jenny's boyfriend in Forrest Gump. Like, calling him a baby killer and stuff. I mean, it was unbelievable. The gall. And he had, like, absolutely zero. You know, I mean, there was some fact error. He didn't even realize there was a draft during the draft during the Vietnam War. You didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
A lot of those boys didn't have a choice. They couldn't just, they didn't elect to go fight in that war. So my point in all this to say that about that person, that I hope I never meet him in person, because that was just the most inappropriate. There's a lot of inappropriate things on X and on message boards over the years. That was the most inappropriate thing I've ever seen. My point in all that is, in another country, if you say that, you're going to get executed, probably, or you're going to get sent to a re-education camp for about a decade. But in America, even the lamest of the lame, the lowest among us, the people that have no brain, most of the time these days, it's people that have, you know, that are highly educated for whatever reason. Even those people have the freedom to say what's on their mind. And that's, you know, for the people that have given up their life for that very valuable thing, I think we can't thank them enough.
No.
So JC and Phil, there was a time in my life about 2.5 years ago where everything just got put in perspective for me for a multitude of reasons. But what I did is, there's an excellent, amazing Veterans Park in Florence, South Carolina. If you Google Florence, South Carolina, Veterans Park will show up. But, you know, through all the immaturity that you might have in your youth, I went there one day on a whim, and my entire perspective of life changed. And that's what I take from holidays like we're about to celebrate, because we are very, very lucky. We are few in number when you look at the entire world. And to be able to do what we do each day, we need to thank those people that have made that ultimate sacrifice and those that were willing to. So couldn't agree with the heartfelt messages that have been shared today. It's something that we need to always cherish and always remember.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So we will enjoy Memorial Day this week. I've got a lot going on. I usually, man, About this time, I'd be like, Phil, just cut the show. It'd be beer, right. Yeah. Beer and hot dog 30. You know, give me a brats and beer. Probably not this weekend. Maybe I'll sneak a couple in. I don't know. Matt actually sent me an extra article today. That's like the bonus fry from McDonald's. Shout out Jim Gavin.
Fun. Go read them.
Yeah. Shout out Jim Gavin. Yeah. He's got a complete series. Like where the one that he sent today will be number 4 on the bigspur.com. It's all about Kendall Briles. And it, you know, there's going to be, I've written about my opinion on it and I've given my opinion on it. This is more like, here are the numbers behind it. Here, mathematically, here is why this is going to work out. So,
and look, it might not work out, but the numbers say that
the numbers dictate that it.
Yeah, should. Like if it's either going to be Kendall Briles or Shane Beamer or Lenora Sellers or Matt Fuller, but there's going to be enough reasons to believe this should work out, which I'm excited for. And look, when I write these articles, I don't know how it's going to go. I don't have a preconceived notion. I'm going year by year and like, oh wow, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Yeah, I read where sports fans, just in general these days, that you hear enough hot takery out there, and God bless, we give it. You know, I'm not saying hot takery, but we give our takes and opinions, certainly, and analysis and all that. But I did read one time, like, what do sports fans want? This is part of the research I did before I got back into the writing aspect of it on the web. And a big thing that kept coming up was analytics, numbers, because people nowadays, there's so much communication. You can easily, I mean, I started out in recruiting where we had to go get the VHS tape. You know, we were talking about road trips earlier. It was in Oakland, California. Marshawn Lynch pulled up. It was Oakland Tech, his alma mater. Marshawn Lynch played at Cal at the time. And this dude from behind the counter in a weight room, it's about the size of my dining room here, pulls up gets a big old grocery bag and hands me, like, this guy obviously was once an offensive lineman, hands me like 4 VHS tapes. Now, and so we had to go cut that and then put it on the internet at Rivals back in the day. And, oh, there it is. And that's the only place you can get it. Now you can go to YouTube, you can go to Huddle, you can go anywhere. So fans are a little, they have more resources to go look at things. And one thing they don't, it's not always fun for everybody. It's fun to go watch tape. It's not fun to look at analytics and or compile analytics and numbers. So that was pretty interesting with that. All right. The chat box is wide open today. So we're just going to let the people take us through the conversation here on the show portion of ITG. Craig says, enjoy Monday off. We will. Have a Memorial Day off. It's not as egregious maybe as Labor Day, because that's always the first football game.
I know.
But we're going to do it anyway.
But you know what? That's right. We're sticking to our
Phil said, I work too damn hard, okay?
Yeah, you got to have some days off. Bruin says a lot of people out there are taking notice to a few incoming players, like Currents, Darius Gray, and Noah Clark, and Julian Walker. If those guys live up to their potential, this may be Beamer's best class that kind of went under the radar. I think it went under the radar for different reasons. I think number one, people still, you know, especially these days when recruiting's not really 365 anymore, guys, it's you really kind of get into it over the summer, then you sort of forget about it. Well, Julian Walker flipped. And people were happy, but man, had he committed in the summer, everybody would have gone bonkers. And it had been a normal old recruiting cycle, or even if Carolina had a winning season last year, right, people were just still raw about the season, because the signing day came like right the week after the Clemson game this year. Noah Clark was a 4-star, 3-star, you know, top guy. Carolina beat NC State on him. People were happy when that happened. Darius Gray, Carolina led for the whole time. And it got a little dicey, but he ended up being a Gamecock in August. I think people were kind of relieved to get it over. And then the season started right after he committed. Mm-hmm. And then Currents was committed way early. And no matter how good they are in recruiting, it's recent, you know, it's whatever's next. It's like, it's funny. I wish I could get people, and I wish I could at the same time. I wish I could get over games as fast as you get over recruits. decisions. Right. Yeah, because you just stop thinking just about
move
it.
Move on.
Not,
yeah,
the,
right.
The committed
yeah.
guys are not at the forefront. But, you know, so it was almost quietly, he ended up being a baller, Brew, and you saw him play at South Point. And one thing Charles Power told us was, he's one of those guys like Walker that saved his best for last. And so, yeah, there are people noticing it. I saw Rock Boys. They do a good job of covering South Carolina, a handful of other schools. Film watching guys here on YouTube mentioned a couple of these guys, and it got spread on social media. Will it be Beamer's best class? We will see. There's, you know, 2024 looked awfully promising. And I think if you include the portal, there's probably going to be more players in there. It's a bigger class, too. But it went under the radar because of the timing of some of the top guys committing, and also because it is a smaller class. I mean, it's not – the numbers weren't huge. But then I did the offensive projections, guys, for this year. Defense, there could be 6-7 guys that play this year off defense. Mm-hmm. Tristan Lewis is a surprise, you know. Offense is a little different, but, you know, you still have Sequel Patterson, Landon Duckworth, Zion Giles in that class. Caden Ramsey is in that class. Those guys are – they may not play a whole lot this year. Maybe they do. But those guys on offense in this 2026 class, they're all like dudes I'll ask you what you think about them. They're all dudes that I think are going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I mean – they're developmental, right? At these positions, they're
not really. If Carolina had the group that they had at receiver, gosh, when were they terrible? Like even when they just had Xavier Leggett 2 years ago, Phil, Sequel Patterson would be a candidate to get on the field. They just got too many guys. They've got
it's overshadowed, right?
They got Sellers, and you can only play one quarterback. So one of the best players is a quarterback. You know, offensive linemen tend not to play early. Caden Ramsey's a guy that Sean Elliott wants to put 45 pounds on, but they're all promising. But yeah, it's not they are developmental. Every position is every player's developmental in football. Hmm. What that term has become is this guy's not very like Neff Jiwa is what you typically would refer to as developmental, and he's part of this class on offense too. Who knows what that dude will do?
But he's raw, right?
Yeah, raw. I mean, people didn't call him raw.
He's raw.
Yeah, raw. So, yeah. So,
what do you think? And even then, like, do smaller classes in, or maybe classes even in, you know, not necessarily powerhouse programs, JC, get overshadowed by just the fact that the transfer portal kind of dominates the conversation, even though it's only open for 2 weeks.
Yeah. I think it's recruiting in general now, like high school recruiting, like it, because there was really no other, like, I think during the off season, people like to follow hope. It's news and it's hope, you know? So what is the hope? The hope is this recruiting class, the one that turns around. The hope is these new additions to the coaching staff turn it around. The hope is these guys out of the portal turn it around if you're losing. If you've won, the hope is either getting to the next level or maintaining where you're at, right? The hope. It's all about hope. And that's football, you know, because it's so much of how individuals perform is based on what's between the ears and what's inside the chest, and who the heck knows how to predict that. You can't.
No.
JC, to that point, like talking about like what's in your chest, what's in your mind, what can you do?
Yeah.
Wesley Saunders, former Gamecock player, he told me, Matt, like I thought I realized what it was like when I came to college. He said, but I saw so many 4- and 5-star players quit the first day of practice because it was hard, and it was harder than they've ever experienced in their life. Mm-hmm. He said, I went to the NFL and I'm playing against a first rounder. You know, first round draft pick. I'm watching them. I had to admit, take it the hard way. And, he, you know, Wes will tell you it's because of his own doing in some ways. But he said, I watched that guy quit when it got hard. The first time things get hard, the human nature is to quit.
That's why football is the greatest game. But, you know, and so that's why I call it hope, because, you know, Steve Spurrier, you say, I never say definitely. I always say hopefully. So hopefully it goes out. So what gives you more hope? A player that's been at another school for 4 years, it's a grown man that's going to come in and start, that's got, you know, had 10 sacks at his old school, that you know is a stud, or a high school kid. And so the hype isn't around there. The other thing about it is this, because there's not the 365 day a year diehard attention on recruiting. Don't get me wrong. People still like it. It's just not as like the portal, you're right, Phil, has overshadowed it. If you're Carolina and you're just, and this has to do with the ring of the fan base, that's maybe not the diehards. They go to every game, they watch it, they know the players' names, they just don't follow recruiting and things like that. But they'll give it a passing glance. Where are they ranked? And Carolina is stuck between 15 and 20. Even like with this class that looks like it potentially, hopefully, is going to be great, because it was a smaller class and the number of players you take matters. And so, you know, it kind of gets boring, man. And I always talk about the team rankings. Like, I'm always like, those are great to look at. Lord knows I love them. I do think it's a huge mistake by certain outlets to take away the composite rankings, because I think those are by far the most accurate. I do think that, you know, with the team rankings, I tell everybody, it's just, there's not that much difference between 15 and 10. And then three guys here bust out, like Wesley was talking about, and they just don't want any. And then three guys over here over, you know, maximize. It's a talent maximization game, not just a talent game in football. And, you know, so people just look at it like, oh, well, they're recruiting the same way anyway, even though they may not be, even though this may be a class with a certain number of NFL guys. We really should, and I'll end with this, well, on this subject, and you guys can add, we really should judge recruiting classes after the fact, but nobody would care.
Right.
Nobody would care, because there's no hope at that point. They're all gone. You can be hopeful if you're the Green Bay Packers or, you know, Detroit Lions, and you've drafted one of these guys.
Well, to your point, JC, it's exactly what we saw unfold. If you follow the Gamecocks the past 3 years, what do you have, JC and Phil? Blockbuster offensive line classes over and over and over and over. And you just think to yourself, there's no way this can't be an elite group. And then you look up 3 years later and you're signing 9-10 offensive linemen in the transfer portal because, hey, look, they didn't work out. And, you know, to JC's point of being trapped in the moment, JC and Phil, I don't know if you realize this, but the first commitment in this past football recruiting class happened in August of 2024. The last commitment happened in January of 2026. All for this particular class. So, I mean, you look at, you know, even I'm just scrolling through it here.
FGWA came in last month in April, you know.
Let's see.
It's spread out.
Yeah. So,
even further.
March 29th on 0-3. But you look at like an Aiden Harris, who top 100 kid in the country. Is anybody celebrating Aiden Harris today? No.
Until he does something. I mean, he's good enough to play. He's been overshadowed because the Noah Clark thing was a surprise. It didn't even surprise Beamer. But
it's a mountain of a man. Like, who wouldn't be surprised about that?
I mean, yeah, everybody knew he could. If you watch him on film, you know, big guy that can move. But then you look at him, you're like, he's probably going to have to reshape a little bit. You know, he hadn't reshaped. I mean, I've seen pictures. I hadn't really reshaped, but just he's moves out there rushing the passer. I mean, he's probably one of those guys that D tackle. I say it all the time. Sometimes those guys have it so easy. They get to school and like you said, they just wilt under pressure and it's, oh my God, I got to work now. I don't think he's one of those types of kids. I think he's come in taking care of his business and gotten coached up and let his natural ability take over. We'll see what he does this year.
Yeah. And then also JC, just like, I'm still the biggest guy out here. You can't move me.
I know you ain't gonna move me. I can't wait of that. You know, an individual player I can't wait to watch play that doesn't get the ball. Not that guy.
Yeah, watch
him. Harrison chimes in. It's definitely a quality over quantity class. Not big, but could have a high hit rate. Bryce is in Chicago on his way to Montana, and he just had his first Chicago style hot dog and is impressed. It is like, it's one of those things, man. You look at it and you're like, you know, because first time I had a Chicago style hot dog, I actually had no idea I would end up here. Right. And I remember I was talking in the crosstalk about going down the West Coast in the Pacific Northwest.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I was coming back from the Pacific Northwest because we'd go to the opening every year out in Portland. It's a big recruiting camp. And my flight back to Nashville would always have a layover at Chicago Midway. I was a big Southwest guy. And so we stopped. And then, of course, my flight back to Nashville got delayed. It's summertime. There's thunderstorms. And it's frustrating because it's a 45-minute flight from Chicago to Nashville. And it's like, and I'd just gotten off 4 hours from Portland or Seattle. And I was like, I'll have me a hot dog. Now, at this point in my life, I rarely ate hot dogs. I wish I could say the same thing since I moved up here. So I got it. And I was like, this is weird. It has a pickle on it and tomatoes.
Right.
And mustard. But I bit into it. If you bite into it, it's just like a great. It's a delicacy. It's not like the chili mustard and onions we had back in the South. You know, it's a different taste, but it's actually really good. So glad you're here. It's a beautiful day to be in Chicago. It's very nice outside, high of 68. So all that good stuff.
You see, we're already at 78 with a high of 80 coming, and we just had rain here at the beach.
I know, dude. I know. My wife is in the chat box. Wishing everyone a happy Memorial Day. Roger's watching Texas Tech, Florida softball. Texas Tech's coach apparently has a beer gut.
Let's see. So,
Cam says, I feel like rock boys rely on this show for so much of their intel. I don't know. They're good fellas. I've never met them before. I'm flattered. They like to talk ball, dude. And if they were just like, I may go, you know, I don't care. And I, it's like, I'm in a new spot. From now on, I'm not saying the past, I'm just going to let my work speak for itself. And
so dude, I don't even know who Rock Boys are. Like you, JC, I don't Twitter. I don't social media.
Well, they're YouTube. They're basically YouTubers, you know, and they break things down. But I mean, if they were just doing South Carolina and, you know, that would be a little, but they do a lot of different schools. And the Gamecock fans like to watch it, and I think they do a good job. But yeah, Cam, I mean, you know, I don't know. I wish I could say I caught them a lot, but you know, my podcast and video listening time, when I get it, sometimes it's just listening to our shows back to see what everybody else said when I'm not on or something like that. But yeah, I mean, wherever, that's fine. TD, sorry about the Bears leaving Chicago. I'm not. They completely screwed this up. The city did. And I hope they leave Illinois and go to Hammond, Indiana. It serves some of these people that run this state and that city a lesson. Teach them a good lesson. I hate it for the fans. They're good fans. Lance is in the chat box. He says Tristan Lewis is the real deal and Kellen Ramsey is the dog. Yeah, those two guys, you have good high school football players in South Carolina. How many guys – from South Carolina has this program taken through the years that are kind of lightly recruited that have turned out to be legit?
You know, Nicky Minori is the most latest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That you point to there, right?
It's a big example.
Yeah.
I think you just think about like in South Carolina and it's different in other states, but sometimes football players just they rise to the top and they have to play all over the field. And that's such an undervalued skill. We talk about players that have played multiple sports in their background, but even in the football field, playing multiple positions, and that's what Ramsey had to do in his high school career. That's what Currens had to do in his high school career. Those guys, man, they just pan out more often. And I don't have any stats to back it up except for my memory. And it's not as great as JC's, but man, like when you have to play offense and defense, like it's straight up. Remember the Titans, you know, you're going to go both ways, Petey. You're going to play for us and you're going to make plays and we're going to win a state championship. And then you go to college and it's like, oh my God, all I have to be is a tight end. All I have to do, I can focus all my time on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun.
And for me, that was one of the defining narratives of the Spurrier era, right? Like finding these local guys that were even two stars when they had it back then. And, you know, a couple years later, they're making plays every game. And after that, they're off to play on Sundays. I think that, I mean, we talk a lot about, you know, what you have to do to win at Carolina, but being able to move in that space where you just out evaluate guys who happen to not be on the national radar that are within a certain radius of your school and pull them in and make them work is something that is, you have to have that at Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Well, you take advantage of it. You know, South Carolina has become almost like the Tidewater of Virginia, or, you know, some of these places where if you know what you're doing, you can get a lot of good players that aren't, you know, not have a lot of competition for them. It's crazy in a lot of ways. Virginia Tech did it with the Tidewater. You know, there would be, out of the 757, you'd have like the top seven in that area, top 15 in that area. Virginia Tech would sign 10 of them. None of the top three. The top three would go out of state to some blue blood. You'd never hear from them again. And then there are six NFL guys in that Virginia Tech line. It's not as extreme. South Carolina also gets the blue chips from the state. I mean, Jazavian Currents, yeah, Julian Walker were studs. But there is that type of player out there. And I think Matt hit on something there with having to play both ways, smaller. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Jazavian Currents, everybody's high on him. Well, one of the other South Point defensive backs that came out about 12, just retired from the NFL, Stephon Gilmore, he was the quarterback for South Point.
Yep.
You know, and if you look at Carolina's draft numbers, right? So from in-state this year, second round, Brandon Cisse, low three-star guy, didn't even have a Carolina offer from the state. In 2025, you mentioned Nicky Minwore, Phil. That's a great example. But TJ Sanders is another good example. I think North Carolina maybe would have taken him. The previous staff found him at Marion. He was at Marion. Good Lord, JC. Marion, South Carolina.
Oh, down there in Marion, South Carolina.
Jimmy Carter's fireworks. Right. Beautiful Marion, South Carolina. Good Lord. Marion. Good Lord, that's funny. He's a three-star guy. All upside guy was a basketball player. The previous year, Xavier Leggett, Charles Power did rate him as a low four-star guy, but he was a quarterback for Mullins from the PD and didn't really, you know, saved his best for last. Marcellus Dial didn't even have any offers out of Woodruff. Went to Georgia Military College, and the old staff just kind of got him to bounce back. No other offers drafted. Darius Rush, Lance Thompson signed just about nobody here. And I like Lance, and that's, you know, I think he just knew how to recruit at certain schools and not at others. But he signed this kid, right? Nobody knew where he's going to play. Some people played, said receiver. He's from C.E. Murray in Greeleyville.
Yeah, I was about to say, I've been to Greeleyville because I'm from Florence, South Carolina. Yeah. And yeah. When the first time I went to Greeleyville, I went to the Bank of Greeleyville for work. I had no idea Greeleyville was a city. I want to know how many people in the chat box can find Greeleyville without a map. Just get in your car and go. Who can do it? I bet Lance can do it. Craig can maybe do it.
I've been there.
Like, if you find a player from there, they're a player.
I definitely. I mean, Greeleyville, you know, so Darius, you know, just kind of stuck with it and all of a sudden came out of nowhere. We'll never forget the early interception against A&M in 2022 when Carolina broke that losing streak. You know, even going back, Izzy McWamu was a player that spent his senior year at Bossier City, but he was kind of a three-star guy out of Berkeley and Monk's Corner. TJ Brunson was a three-star guy out of Richland Northeast that they flipped. Nobody wanted Javon Kinlaw until he got to junior college. Nobody wanted Dennis Daly in junior college. Debo Samuel was a three-star guy from Chapman. Jarrell Adams was a four-star. Get that. That's good. Going back just in-state, Bruce Ellington was a basketball recruit. Justice Cunningham was a three-star guy. TJ Johnson was a three-star guy. Go back to Spurrier, Devin Taylor was a three-star guy. DJ Swearinger was a three-star
guy. Oh, JC, you're talking about Justice Cunningham. I met Justice when he was 12 years old. He played on my brother's AAU basketball team that finished seventh nationally. And Justice Cunningham was the only player from that team that didn't play college basketball.
Guess yeah, he was good at basketball. Football. Yeah, he was really good. So you make a good point there. My wife's saying bad things about Brandon Johnson. Bry guy thinks Darius Gray, the five-star offensive lineman, starts. I think maybe not. I hate to say it, ladies, it just kind of depends on how good is Hank Purvis, how good are the other contenders at one of those guards. I think Poku's probably starting. Nolan Hay actually had a really good spring too, and he's working at center and guard. But he may just be one of these guys that's too good to keep off the field, man.
Do you want him just like, okay, look, you know, Shed Surratt, JC and Phil, we went through it. We're winning the Virginia Tech game. We all knew that there was a good chance Shed Surratt was going to start, right? Yeah. And he was injured, couldn't start. But I hear John Strickland, and look, if I'm going to listen to anybody about the offensive line, it's going to be John Strickland. And he says, even with a Darius Gray type, you don't want them to start as a freshman. So, like, ideally, you want someone to beat Darius Gray out, but if he can't be beat out, you got to roll with him.
Shed Surratt was the most consistent offensive lineman last year. Did you know that?
Everybody
on that line that started most of those games had decent moments every now and then, and then catastrophically bad individual performances, and they happened at different times, which was terrible. Surratt, though, I'm not saying he never screwed up. Everybody did, but there was less of it, and you know the right tackle position actually compared to the previous right tackle's performance against Ole Miss, which was one of the worst individual offensive line performances I've ever seen in my life. Really inexcusable performance by Tree in that game. If you go back and look at it, that spot got better
because
he made his first start out at A&M and it got better, you know? So, but ideally, do you want to start true freshman? No. But, if he does, he's just the better one. And one more question. We got to get to our break, right, Phil?
Yep.
What record do you feel like would cause Beamer to lose the fan base? A losing record?
Maybe we think about that over break.
I don't know. I don't like to put numbers on things because not all 8-4s are created equal. Not all 7-5s are created equal. I mean, it kind of depends on what everybody else does. I think it's important to have a winning season. And I think this team should win. This team should has the roster to and the coaches to cycle back up. You know, whatever that looks like largely depends, just like it does. And guys, the Gamecocks are not alone. Sometimes we all think that. It's just, you know, these other schools aren't at the mercy of very few. There's been three playoff teams in 2 years from the SEC that are a direct function of the schedule draw. Texas, 2 years ago. Think about it. The only good team they played was Georgia, and they lost.
And they both lost times. Twice.
You know,
they had to struggle to beat Clemson, who every other SEC team beat.
They got Clemson. They got Arizona State. They almost lost that one, and then Ohio State took care of them. You know, Tennessee. That Tennessee team, they got waxed by Ohio State. And if Carolina had to go to Columbus, they probably wouldn't have ended well. But – that Tennessee team would have lost by two touchdowns to that Gamecock team. But you look at their schedule, who'd they play? They played, you know, Kentucky and Mississippi State. And they avoided all the good teams. A&M last year, you looked at their schedule at the beginning, and then you look at it at the end, and it's like – so I say that, Ryan, to say this. I don't know what all these teams are going to look like. Like 70% of them are starting first-year starters at quarterback. You know, three of them have new head coaches. There's a slew of new coordinators. So, You know, it a lot depends on that as far as like the actual record goes. Now, is it important to not have a season like last year, no matter how tough the schedule is? Absolutely, because this this roster and these coaches, you're prepared now. There's no more like, I don't want to even say that there's no more weak leagues. There's nothing that you go, well, I wish this was, you know, coach, I wish the plan was a little bit different here, I would think. Anyway, this is the show portion of ITG on heading into Memorial Day weekend. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Rolling on here to wrap up Memorial Day weekend episode of the show. It's been fun. We had the wide open chat box in the honor of the occasion. If anybody you would like to honor that has sacrificed themselves in service of this nation, drop their names in there. We'll be happy to recognize them and your family, or even if it's just loved ones. And we can't say how grateful enough we are for those among us who would be willing to do that for our freedoms.
Absolutely. As yeah, Cam says about Rock Boys, he's not hating on Rock Boys. He just said, I'm a good resource. Absolutely.
Flattering. I mean, you know,
I don't care. I'm done with all this nonsense. Nobody cares about other outlets and this outlet and what we have to say about each other. You just want to hear about the Gamecocks and talk ball.
That's right.
I'll let our work speak for itself and let other people throw barbs and stuff. Just makes them look bad.
I mean, JC, you're a resource for me. Phil's a resource for me. I want
Phil's
to talk
a resource Gamecocks. For me. I would not have cooked a turkey if it weren't for Phil.
That's right. I could teach you plenty, but I'm like the op-ed page. You don't come now, here scoop.
Now, Phil, can you teach us how to hunt a turkey?
I've never heard about Phil hunting before.
Because I can't. I need someone to teach me.
I have a lot of hunters in my family.
Bruin said two hot dogs, mustard, chili, and onions from a country store in Johnsonville. Shout out Lance. Those hot dogs you get at those little stores in South Carolina.
Yep.
They're pretty tasty, man.
Dude, with all this hot dog talk, I'm about to go to Pauly's Island Hardware. Yeah. They sell fishing stuff. They have two hot dogs for $4 and a Coke.
Dude, that's a deal, man. Mm-hmm. You can't get a deal like that anymore, man.
No, man. Especially on the coast.
Portillo's, the hot dog place up here, for a jumbo hot dog, which is not a foot long like they have that. Shout out Sam's Corner, Garden City. It's just a bigger, I guess I could say wiener on the, you know, yeah. Wiener, bigger Frankfurter, I guess.
Sausage.
$7.
$7. $7 hot dog.
Hey, man, that's cheap nowadays.
Stadium price.
It's so delicious, though. It's like sometimes I just pay it. So anyway. Matt said he had a bucket and a pitcher of lattes at Top Golf in honor of Lance to get his weekend started. Matt's going hard in the paint already.
Yeah, he is, man. Yeah.
It's 12:50 p.m. in the East. And Matt had just polished off a bucket and a pitcher. Oh, a bucket of balls, probably, and a pitcher of lattes.
I thought
he had a bucket of lattes and then said, hey, I'm not finished. Bring that pitcher on out here. Remember, bring me, just fill it on up. You don't even have to bring me any solo cups. Give me a straw.
That's right.
I ordered Matt Stellar's win is the winner of Memorial Day Friday.
Well, I mean, people can catch up still, though. You got to catch up to Matt.
Hope has a hot dog recommendation. Jimmy's Mart in Columbia. Okay. Known since the mid-70s.
I haven't tried those.
Matt says something about ordering beers at 10 a.m. just feels strange, but as long as you're attempting to hit a golf ball, it's okay. If you're playing golf, if you're in the airport, or if there's a football game that kicks off early, it's socially acceptable.
The airport one's the best. There are zero rules in the airport. It doesn't matter what time of day it is.
Doesn't exist in the airport.
When I was dating Nat, I flew up here to go to a concert from Atlanta. Literally belly up at the bar, sitting at attention. My flight was like at 10:30, 6:52 a.m. was not intoxicated the whole day.
No, right, right.
Never like felt it. Never had to take a nap. Something about those airport. Maybe it's the air. I don't know what happened.
Well, it's weird, JC, because like you can do it in the airport, but when you get on the plane, like can't order a double Jack and Coke at 9 a.m. and not get some weird looks from the stewardess.
Oh man, yeah. When I used to fly for work, I never drank. Going, coming, I was all business, right? I used to kind of side eye people in the morning drinking, like, because you if you're up at the front, you know, in certain airlines in a business class, or if you're on Southwest where everybody sits everywhere, you smell it. You smell the liquor. Mm-hmm. And it's like, man, this just, man, you know,
damn. This 14 hot dogs for 2 days.
The worst ever is somebody's drinking liquor. Somebody's got a breakfast burrito with onions and unwrapping that smack. And then somebody's got a baby with a poopy diaper all at the same time. That did happen.
Yeah, that's an assault on your senses.
It all just locked together.
Love that. Oh, Lance, 7 a.m. for an 8 a.m. tea time. I mean, you know.
That's awesome.
That's it.
There are no rules at golf courses and airports.
No.
Harrison said, who has the higher ceiling, Currents or Anderson at Clemson, the freshman safety from Dorman? Ceiling would be Currents. Floor is high for both. I like Polo, though.
And I think it's hard to say without actually watching them take a snap. But, you know, all we can say is that Currents has been fantastic in every instance he's been asked to do something. And I just don't cover Clemson. I don't know, to be honest.
Yeah, Polo, the Dorman kid's a really good player. My guess is he makes an impact for their secondary this year. Don't be surprised if he's like not freshman all ACC. Comparing the two, I mean, just prospect wise, Currents is the bigger, freakier guy. But I've seen a lot of safeties Polo size that are dominant as well. Bryce, the whole time he's eating a hot dog, he's thinking about my Chicago. Yeah, give me a beef.
Me a beef.
it's awesome. Frederick's from King Street, South Carolina. What's up, Frederick? That's awesome.
He knows where Reallyville is, I promise.
Oh, he's right beside it. King Street's right there. Saxon's Hot Dogs in Abbeville, X-Man says. X-Man also mentioned those volcanoes. He lives in the Pacific Northwest. Rainier is an active volcano. If that thing ever blows, Seattle's in trouble. And Mount St. Helens is supposed to erupt again, they're talking about. So... thanks for the kind words, Gamecock 346. Quantrell misses Sandy's. We all do. Matt says tailgate breakfast beers are acceptable. I love them. Look, man, I'll be honest.
Kegs and eggs, baby.
I told my wife if we ever get a chance to go out and have a beer again, if we're not at the bar by noon, I'd rather just skip it.
Just skip. Yeah. Right. Right.
So I used to never be that way. I was a night owl. Now it's like noon is that's the best time to start, because then my butt can come home and get dinner and be in bed by 6 o'clock.
Well, here's the thing, JC. People don't realize, like, as you get old, I mean, people realize that. I'm sure I can talk for myself. I'm up at like 6:30 every morning. By the time 12 o'clock comes, I've had what's like half a day. By the time 3 o'clock comes, I've had a 12-hour day, it feels like. By the time 7 o'clock comes, like, night-night. I'll see y'all tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just getting older. Jaden says his brother could eat 14 hot dogs. I remember Skin's hot dogs when I lived in the upstate. That's good eating, too. 14, and his record's 8.
You can get them.
Joey down. Chestnut in your family, man.
Yeah.
The best one I saw was the – I agree with Jaden. I was laughing at that earlier. But the baseball challenge, 9 dogs, 9 beers, and 9 innings.
Is that it?
That's it? I think that's it.
Oh, I could kill that. Jeez. You think about it. 9 hot dogs and 9 beers over the 3 hours?
What if you're at the Clemson-Carolina game this year, game 2, where the guy threw 70 pitches? Paul Maneri calls me to barf all over. You could have another thing to blame Maneri for. That thing was moving right along. That thing
was moving quick.
You're having a shotgun beers, and you actually are being a Joey Chestnut. You're going to have to dip that hot dog in the beer. That's not going to taste too good, Phil.
No. So I may try that next year. Just show up at Founders.
All right, JC, were you ever
about to take me home?
JC and Phil, were y'all ever a ketchup on hot dog guy? Because that's how I had them growing up.
when you're a kid, if you're below the age of eight, I think that's okay.
Yeah,
it's against the law in Chicago, though. Like, you'll get fined.
Yeah, I don't do ketchup on a hot dog down here either. Just
get ketchup off that hot dog. Yeah.
What is that?
Kick you out of Chicago. Get that ketchup off that hot dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. It's just mustard only. So,
are either of you guys at Tijuana Mama, like the pickled sausages you see at the gas station?
When I was in third grade, I got one, and then I got one that didn't sit well with me, and so I stopped.
I don't do the spicy ones, but now I like Vienna sausages. Oh yeah,
my dad.
So I'll eat those and potted meat. I'll do that too. Yeah, that's
so. Yeah. I'll tell the story in closing. Potted meat, Phil.
Yeah, I do potted meat on saltine crackers, or I even eat sardines. Like, yeah, that's I grew up.
I was about to ask, like, my grandpa
does. It's like the 78-year-old woman from Traveler's Rest would do.
I know. Well, it's like one of those. Tell me, you spent a ton of time with your, you know, grandparents as a kid, without telling me you spent a ton of time with your grandparents.
Phil was watching The Price is Right while I did it. Price is Right while he did it.
So my dad loved Vienna sausages, right? Here's my Vienna sausage story. Yeah, Phil's definitely watching The Price is Right while he does it. And he would eat them all the time. And I liked them when I was a kid. They tasted good. But then one time we bought these hamsters. And this is why back in the day, it was probably not wise to ask the Kmart employee about the sex of the pets you're about to buy from the pet department at Kmart.
You could buy pets at Kmart?
Yes. Oh, hamsters, yeah. Guinea pigs, goldfish, they had it all. So we got to, and all of a sudden, the pink one was getting really, really fat. And so they had babies. We ended up having to build a hamster hotel. The dad was eating. I mean, it's just got a horror story, right? But when the hamster babies come out, they look just like little Vienna sausages. And my dad decides to point this out. And I never ate a Vienna sausage again. For the rest of my life, I get sick to my stomach thinking about it. Because those little squirmy, little hairless
hamster. You made your point.
That's what I'm saying. Krager says you have to drink in an airport so you don't commit murder. And one more hot dog. Cam says, perfectly Frank's in Somerville was the spot. Hot dog with mac and cheese was gold. All right. All right, folks. Hey, listen, have a great Memorial Day. Appreciate all of y'all sticking with us this week through baseball. So we didn't talk about the baseball search today.
No.
Yesterday on our special, Matt was like, what are we going to talk about all day tomorrow? Probably the baseball search. We didn't mention it once.
No, we got in some football talk today.
I'm sure Will Crow and Jamie Bradford went through it all. And Matt Smith and Rob Williams. I'm sure that they had a great conversation about it. But I'll just repeat what I've said. Just get somebody to win. That's We should all be talking about Selection Monday and hosting regionals and who they're going to get in their bracket, how they blew it in the SEC tournament again, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Mad, you know, the semi-mad that we all used to get. Well, they just don't do really well in Hoover, but the regionals are next week. Mm. But we're not. You're looking at 22 and 35. God almighty. I've never thought I'd live today in baseball.
No.
But Citadel was up, what, 13? Citadel did win today. So they're going to play for the 14-4. SoCon championship.
Yeah.
Let's all adopt the Citadel for the win.
And they're not scared of using up all their runs because they just keep finding more.
Matt, any final thoughts to wrap us up here?
Pretty excited. Sunday night. We'll be back. Rob and I think JC might make an appearance. And just everyone just enjoy, you know, Memorial Day weekend. And thank you for everyone that served. We appreciate you. I have so many family on my side of it that have done it. And look, I'm thankful they did for me. So I hope you all have a great weekend. We'll be here Sunday night and then catch up with everyone next week.
All right. See you later. This has been ITG. Everybody be safe out there. Remember what the Memorial Day is for. Cook you a burger and a dog on the grill. Smoke you some ribs. Eat well. Eat, drink, and be merry. See you later, folks.